Disruptive Technology Update, a weekly dose of information that keeps you up to date on the latest developments in the field of technology designed to assist individuals with disabilities and special needs. I'm your host, Josh Anderson, with the Indata Project at Easter Seals Crossroads in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to episode 754 of Assistive Technology Update. It is scheduled to be released on November 7th, 2025. On today's show, we are super excited to be joined by Eric Jacobs, and he's here to tell us all about Access Navigator. We are also joined by our friends from Bridging Apps with an app worth mentioning and have a quick story about a new mobility device from Toyota that was premiered at the mobility show in Japan. Listeners, as always, we thank you so much for listening, and don't forget, you can always reach out to us. Should you have some questions, comments, or suggestions for guests here on the show, please do reach out. You can call our listener line at 317-721-7124, or drop us an email at tech@easterseelscrossroads.org. Also, don't forget, you can check out our website at easterseelstech.com to find all kinds of other AT resources. Thank you again for taking time out of your day to give us a listen, and let's go ahead and get on with the show. Maybe you're looking for some new podcast to listen to. Well, make sure to check out our sister podcast, ATFAQ, or Assistive Technology Frequently Asked Questions. On Assistive Technology Frequently Asked Questions, Brian Norton leads our panel of experts as we try to answer your assistive technology questions. This show does rely on you, so we're always looking for new questions, comments, or even your answers on assistive technology questions. So remember, if you're looking for more assistive technology podcasts to check out, you can check out our sister shows, ATFAQ, wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify and Amazon Music. Listeners, our story today comes to us from over at Design Boom, and it talks about the Japan Mobility Show. And at the Japan Mobility Show, Toyota is revealing a device called WalkMe. Now, this is a concept device, so it's not actually available or anything like that, and who knows if it'll actually make it to market. But essentially, it's an autonomous wheelchair, and I use the word wheelchair very lightly, just because while it does some of the same things as a wheelchair, it does not have wheels in any way, shape, or form. It has a seat like a wheelchair would. Of course, it's a little bit different kind of design, but instead of wheels, it has foldable tentacle legs. And these legs can climb stairs, can sit on the floor, can walk you up into your vehicle without the need for a ramp. So it's kind of a whole new design on the whole idea of a wheelchair. These four autonomous, and I'm just going to call them tentacles, although they sort of are like legs as well, move independently of each other and walk. Again, they can walk upstairs. They can walk up into a vehicle. They can fold up and sit on the floor. They could easily transfer you to another chair. It can really do a lot of different things. It says here in the story that each leg can lift, bend, and adjust its position on its own, and it lets the device move across steps or rough ground. It says that the user can ask the device to move around using small side handles or a control interface that could include buttons. And I gotta admit, it's pretty wild. Definitely pretty wild. I mean, just imagine, any kind of four-legged animal, it essentially moves in that kind of way. And again, it can walk across the ground, walk across uneven terrain, stairs, anything like that. It says this project was presented by Toyota during a Japan Mobility Show in 2025 in late October and early November this year. Toyota's had some other kind of concept things out there in the past. I don't know how many of them have actually made it to market, but it does say they have a lot of research into personal mobility solutions. It also says just kind of beyond the movement, beyond being able to navigate all this different terrain and different kinds of places, the legs can also retract into a compact shape so that it's much easier to store and transport, allowing to fit into cars and small indoor spaces. Now, this is just a prototype reveal. So, again, who knows where it'll kind of come. But I love that it's a whole new kind of take on it. You know, we've seen ones with different kinds of wheels, even with tracks and things like that to maybe get over different terrain, to maybe get folks up in their car a little bit easier or into different places or allow stairs and other movement. But this is a whole new take on the entire kind of, and again, wheelchair doesn't even seem fitting to say since there are no wheels, but a personal mobility device. So we will put a link to this over in the show notes so that you can check it out. And who knows, maybe sometime here in the future, we will see these autonomous wheelchairs from Toyota out just walking around and helping folks get to where they need to be. And coming up next on the show, we welcome back Bridging Apps with an app worth mentioning.
This is Ale Gonzalez with Bridging Apps, and this is an app worth mentioning. This week's featured app is called Buddy Budget Planner App. Buddy Budget Planner is a budgeting app that helps manage household finances. The Buddy Budgeting App is a great medium for those who are new to budgeting, as well as those who have been doing it for a long time and just want a different approach. The biggest benefit of this app is that it is available in 13 languages, including Spanish, and that there are dozens of currencies you can change it to. This allows individuals from all over the world to use it. A favorite feature is the option to add another person to your budget so that you can manage household finances equally or create a shared budget with friends on vacation. This is a premium feature, which is currently $49.99 a year. It is a great and simple app that can help you keep track of all of your expenses, expected and unexpected. Buddy Budget Planner App is currently available for only iOS and is free to download. For more information on this app and others like it, visit bridgingapps.org.
Listeners, there are a lot of options out there when we think about alternative access methods. There's switches of all kinds, adaptive keyboards and mice, eye and head control, voice control. The list just goes on and on. It seems like there's new tools out there all the time. And it can be very challenging to find the correct input method for individuals with mobility challenges. Our guest today is Eric Jacobs, and he's here to tell us about Access Navigator, a free tool to support decision-making in alternative access, and we cannot wait to learn all about it. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Josh.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Before we get into talking about Access Navigator, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Eric Jacobs. My title is R&D engineer within the Communication Sciences and Disorders Department at Penn State. My role in this was a little bit more of being a partner within the currently ending RERC on AAC, mm-hmm. which is funded by Nidler. I started young. My dad started a company called Invotech within the disability field. So I've been doing little things with people with disabilities from the time I was, you know, single digits. I did a bunch of SBIRs and worked on the previous RERC on AACs with while at Invotech starting in 2009. And then Invotech closed and I got the opportunity to join Penn State directly as part of the RERC.
Nice. Well, very cool. Very cool. I'm sure that they're very happy to have you there. And we're very happy that you helped out on this project. So I guess on to Access Navigator, kind of big picture, what is it?
So it's a web-based tool to guide access assessments. We pretty much wanted to improve the quality of the assessment process mm-hmm. by leading teams through a repeatable and systematic process while incorporating performance measures for evidence-based decision-making.
Nice. Very cool. And you kind of brought this up a little bit, but Eric, I guess why was it important to create this tool?
So our team, I guess I should start by saying that the rest of the team that's involved in this, Heidi Kester and I were on the technical team, and Susan Fager, Jessica Gormley, and Tabitha Sorensen were kind of on the technical or on the clinical team. Mm-hmm. So over the years, our team has seen through our efforts and then also through research in the field, such as surveys by ASHA, that access assessments may be part of people's scopes, but they don't often feel comfortable doing them. Mm-hmm. Part of our project was we did some semi-structured interviews, and we confirmed that they need tools to support more effective assessments with an emphasis on taking the worry out of assessments and supporting early success.
Nice. Very cool. So I love that you kind of found an issue that a lot of folks were having and were able to really help build a tool that's able to assist them with everything. And thank you so much for telling us about the team. That was my next question. But you're right. We should probably give them credit a little bit earlier on. So, Eric, let's kind of dig into the kind of major sections of the Access Navigator. I guess it's kind of split up into four major sections. Is that right? What are those?
Yeah, we have you start by gathering background information. That could be like the goals, as in like what types of things are you trying to do with your device? The context, as in how you're going to be using it. Are you going to be in bed? Are you going to be in a chair? Are you going to be at school, work, all that sort of stuff? And then a history of what types of alternative access you've used. Then we move on to evaluating abilities, where we look at physical, visual, language and cognition. We kind of walk you through looking at those sorts of things and help you put together all of your thoughts for whenever you go into the part of actually trying something out. We call that test driving. And so as part of our test drives, we have just a list of kind of generic devices. So we're going to not go with a brand name. We're going to go with calling it a head tracker.
Okay. Yeah.
Not like or a specific type of switch. We don't go by names. Mm-hmm. But then we kind of help you think about the types of things you may want to do to set it up, and then have you go through either instrumented tests where, you know, something like a copy text typing activity, or just let you do whatever you want to do and take notes. We kind of finish up by having the clinician and the user rate what they think about that setup that they were test driving. And then the last category is just getting feedback, interpreting the results, and getting documentation of everything that happened in a specific evaluation. Although we have all of those sections and we walk you through using each of those sections, we don't force you to follow everything. So if you kind of have your evaluation process in mind and you just want to do the test drives, then you can do the test drives and get a report at the end to be able to compare multiple things, and just use that. If you are comfortable with other parts and not comfortable with something, you can just use the part you're not comfortable with so that you can collect that information systematically. But we just don't force you into the process as a whole. We want to make it a tool for everybody, whether you're a novice or an expert.
Nice. That's awesome. And I love, yeah, that you break it down into pretty easy to follow kind of steps. And I must admit, something that I think super helpful is you talked about kind of when you're test driving solutions, giving the folks some different kind of tasks or maybe things to do. I feel like sometimes, I don't know, in some of our AT services, that's always kind of the hardest part is, well, what can I have you do to really be able to see how well it works for the different needs. So I like that you give some ideas in different ways they might be able to do that in there also.
Yeah, this we kind of took that from Heidi's previous work with the application Compass. So we moved a couple of instrumented tests into the app itself, the web app, but that's another great place to be able to look for some more tests.
Nice. Very cool. And I know you also included in Access Navigator kind of some different resources and other things in order to help folks as they kind of go through this journey of finding different access methods. What are some of the resources and things that are included in there as well?
Well, we're lucky to have our clinical team who has a ton of experience doing access assessments. So we kind of sprinkled things throughout the app. So it could be something like tips on how to decide whether or not a hand is a good site for a specific person, all the way to the cursors jumping around with my head mouse. Here's some options on how to change settings within the computer and like narrow it down and get the jumping from to stop happening. And it's sprinkled throughout the app.
Awesome. And you kind of brought this up with some of Heidi's experience, some of your own experience, but you gathered a lot of content and information for this project. I guess, where did a lot of it come from besides just your all's brains and experience?
So we did quite a few studies throughout the process of development, starting from, I mentioned before, our semi-structured interviews, which were like before we ever started. We just asked what people thought about access evaluations. And so, we got some tips from there. We got some questions that then we thought through how we would handle those things. Mm-hmm. So that was a good source of information. And then once we finished those interviews, we built a wireframe, of the app. So it didn't really work. Mm-hmm. You can kind of think of it like if I took a piece of paper and drew what our user interface was going to look like and kind of flipped through the pages in front of you, we did something like that and did two studies using those wireframes where we just checked to see if the information we were giving was helpful and got feedback from other experts who could get us more information than what we could come up with ourselves. And then finally we had, other experts go through it, through the app once we built it and just give feedback. We also got more tips and tricks from them as well. And, finally we got to our final, clinical evaluation and, that's what has given us what we, have posted online for everyone to use.
Awesome. And I guess, you know, this is a pretty big project. Maybe what was your biggest surprise or even challenge kind of while you were working on the creation of Access Navigator?
I think our biggest thing, at least from my part of the development work, was it was very important for us to not require internet access at the time that you're doing the assessment. And so we made the app so that you have to go to the URL, right, to be able to start using the app. Mm-hmm. But at that point, you don't need the internet again until you're saving the data that you collected. Nice. And so that whole process of having stuff be able to not need online and that interaction was a lot more complicated than I expected it to be whenever we started, but it was a really good experience to learn more about it.
I can only imagine the challenge of trying to make all that stuff available offline, but I love that you did because, you know, these evaluations are happening in people's homes or you know, who the heck knows where internet right. might be not available or not good enough to really kind of hold up. So I like that you right. made it accessible to folks wherever they need to use it.
Thank you.
And Eric, was that kind of a decision from the very start, or just something that maybe came up during interviews or as you were kind of working on the project?
It came out from the interviews. We kind of had an idea starting off that we thought that might be important. And so we asked about it during interviews and it was overwhelming that we should make sure to include that.
And then, Eric, I don't think we really got into this, but what kind of prompted you to be a part of the project? Were you kind of on it from the beginning, or did you hear about it, or how did you get involved?
I was more or less in on it from the very beginning. So all of this was proposed in 2019 whenever our group applied for funding from NIDLR for the RERC on AAC. So I was part of the initial group that wrote the proposal and was really excited to get to do this project. My background, I kind of have moved more towards communication software, but previously I did a lot of work with alternative access and had helped with a lot of access evaluations and recognized just the need of being able to like have a way that we know is the right way to do things and make it easy on people.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Make it easy, repeatable. Yes. Is so many great things. And as we talk about access, I guess we should go back a little bit because, you know, access can mean so many different things. Is this a good tool if I'm trying to access, you know, an AAC device, a phone, a tablet, a computer, kind of all of the above, other things, or what all kinds of access can Access Navigator assist with?
So we do focus mostly on computer and augmentative communication devices. We do a little bit of help with low or no tech options. So in that case is we're kind of helping more with finding a site that can help get information from the person. Okay. And that may include, you know, even just getting a call light or something like that, like just getting a good switch site or, stuff like that.
Cool. So it can cover kind of a little bit more, but yeah, I mean, definitely whenever we think of access, you know, at first I was like, oh, is it just for AAC, but the computer as well and those other things. And yeah, sometimes it can be, a little bit challenging with the low tech ones, but I like that those are involved in there as well. Well, Eric, do you have a story maybe for us of maybe somebody who's been helped by using this tool or some of the feedback that you got during the creation or anything like that?
Well, I'd love to share just so far the results from our clinical evaluation.
Yeah.
So for our clinical evaluation, we have actually gotten to work with 14 dyads. So a person who's a clinician working with a person who requires AAC or requires alternative access. Mm-hmm. So far we've had really great responses. So, for the system usability score, we averaged an 80, which puts us in like the top 10% of usability scores, saying just that our app was easy to use. Mm-hmm. And, we had 4.3 out of 5, agreement that Access Navigator is better than their current process, from clinicians. And then as far as from someone who requires AAC, they averaged across enjoying considering their preferences. They appreciated that it didn't feel like their clinician was distracted because they were working together and that using the application was very valuable.
And I think you highlighted something there that you talked about a little bit before, but the working together. I like that the tool allows, because that's always, I don't know, maybe one of the harder things whenever I try to explain anything in AT or access or any of that kind of stuff is that it's such a collaborative process with the individual who's going to actually be using it, relying on this kind of thing. So I like that was built in there from the start.
I also think that it's very part of having the system in front of you, like not the system as in a computer, but mm-hmm. just having the step-by-step process in front of you. You don't have to think about what's next, and it allows you to just interact with the person and not be so focused on trying to remember what you need to do. It just leaves more time for personal interaction, even though you may think sometimes that having the computer may reduce that. But I feel like it makes everybody more comfortable because it feels like you're being heard.
Yeah.
That's my personal thought on it though.
No, I agree. And I think you're right. I think you hit it right on the head there. Eric, if our listeners want to try out Access Navigator and find it, what's a good way for them to get to it?
It is currently available for free at accessnavigator.org. If you go there, we have some kind of tutorial materials and stuff like that that's on the front page that explains why we made it, all of the stuff that we've talked about today.
Awesome. We will put a link to that down in the show notes so that our listeners can go and easily find that. But again, it is a really great tool. I was excited to find out about it, and even more excited to get to learn a lot more today. Eric, thank you so much for coming on, for telling us all about Access Navigator, and for making such a great tool for folks to be able to really work together to find just new access methods and be able to help them find exactly what's going to help them out.
Well, thank you for having me. Very excited to get to share this.
Do you have a question about assistive technology? Do you have a suggestion for someone we should interview on Assistive Technology Update? If so, call our listener line at 317-721-7124. Send us an email at tech@eastersealscrossroads.org or shoot us a note on Twitter @InDataProject. Our captions and transcripts for the show are sponsored by the Indiana Telephone Relay Access Corporation, or INTRAC. You can find out more about INTRAC at RelayIndiana.com. A special thanks to Nicole Prieto for scheduling our amazing guests and making a mess of my schedule. Today's show was produced, edited, hosted, and fraught over by yours truly. The opinions expressed by our guests are their own and may or may not reflect those of the INDATA Project, Easter Seals Crossroads, our supporting partners, or this host. This was your Assistive Technology Update. I'm Josh Anderson with the INDATA Project at Easter Seals Crossroads in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. We look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.